My message to the children of Australia is the same message I give to my own children. And I know this can be frightening and it can be scary. And they're hearing a lot of things, and much of which they won't understand. I think some of the most heartening and cheering videos I think we've seen was where you see little kids in their bedrooms with their own little lightsaber attacking the virus. And you know, that's sort of what it feels like some days in these roles. But I think the key message is we'll get there. We'll be okay. But we have to look after each other. They got to look after their siblings, their brothers and their sisters. They got to look after mum and dad too, and try and be as patient with them as they can. When mum and dad or mum or whoever is asking you to do something, I think it is important to do what mum says and to help them as much as they possibly can, and because they're trying to do the best thing for those children. And we'll seek to teach them as much as we can about what's going on. But the thing to know is that in Australia, they're in one of the most safest places in the world, and their parents love them very much, and their parents are going to do everything they can to keep them safe throughout all of these difficult times.
This is the Kids Health Network, the health and psychology podcast for parents and carers of children.
The Kids Health Network is brought to you by GP and my daddy, Dr. Andrew Leach. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
My guest today is Po Gann. Po is a registered, highly experienced educational and developmental psychologist who has completed extra training in developmental psychology. This has led her to work primarily with families and children, across the board, really, with intellectual, behavioural and emotional difficulties. Now, there's no greater time for family support than the present situation we are all seeing unfolding across the world and around us here in Australia. So I have some really important questions that I want to cover today with Po about these needs. So thanks for joining me today, Po.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to this podcast.
That's okay. It's great to finally chat on here. I've been waiting to speak to you. So I want to start from the top. Have you noticed any changes in children or families presenting to you since this whole coronavirus pandemic began?
Yes. Definitely. A lot of the kids and teenagers and even parents that I spoke to has been talking about how anxious they are, and it is a totally new, different ballgame, and everyone is adjusting. It's not easy.
It's probably affecting people in ways that they didn't expect, or in ways that they're not even realizing, because we are now in this state of where we have to be isolated away from people.
Yeah.
For some people, that brings on a feeling of loneliness. And certainly you lose a little bit of connection with other families and other parents and other kids, and that's something that a lot of families really thrive on, that connection. So I'm sure that even if you think, oh yeah, I'm getting there, it's still hard and it's still challenging, and it still brings on lots of different things each day that, you know, we probably sort of we took for granted before all this.
Yeah, I definitely felt like we have taken granted a lot of things that have happened, that we have, that meet our needs every day. I myself going through this as well, and like feeling a little bit more anxious every day, and I guess that's just everyone's, that's how we're all on the same boat, really.
That's right. Do you think that provides families some reassurance that we are all on the same boat, that we are all going through the same sort of problems around us?
Yeah.
Do you think that helps families to understand it a bit better?
Yeah, definitely. And we're definitely trying to normalize that, like, we are not feeling alone in this. And even though we are feeling socially isolated and more lonely, but there are a whole heap of opportunities for us to connect with each other remotely now, which makes things a little bit easier. It is about finding ways to be creative and to get through these hurdles together.
I like that. So what strategies have you been talking to families about? I'm going to go through a few different scenarios with you.
Yeah.
And let me know, and I'll join you with this conversation about ways that can help families through this. So the first sort of section is, how do we communicate with children about the coronavirus?
So for me and like the families that I've been talking to, we talk about, you know, being honest and using really simple language for them to understand what has been going on, the reason why they are not at school, the reason why there are lots of people busy at the shops, and the reason why they are hearing a little bit more news about, you know, people getting sick and being really unwell. And what sort of things that they can do practically that can help with the situation, like, you know, having good hygiene, washing their hands and not touching their face. And that helps them to understand a little bit better why we are all staying at home. And I've used some videos when I talk to some of the kids that I work with as well, to help them to understand the whole situation.
Yeah, some children prefer that visual learning or the visual understanding of things, and I'm sure it also varies across the age groups.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm hearing from you is that it's still important to be open and honest, and I think if we shy away from that and sort of ignore it in a way or don't tell them, they become a little bit more stressed about what's going on. So,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I think that's a good start. Is there a way to do this without overwhelming them? Like, or do you think just what you said? You know, give them the facts straight up, and if they ask questions, answer them straight up, and be as honest as you can.
Good question. I think like it's important to give them the facts and like really keep it simple and at the language that they can understand, and don't hide away from the kids, but do not give them, you know, the extreme statistics about, you know, how many people have injured or like hurt in this pandemic, but to tell them that, like, you know, like it is like for most of the people, it is just going to be like a cold and flu symptoms, especially for young children and young people. But for like people who have compromised immune system, the body is not able to deal with like fighting the virus very well, or like older people, then they will be more impacted by this virus. By us staying socially isolated, or, you know, distancing ourselves from school and from public places, means that we are protecting those people who are really vulnerable.
So I think having a level of filter up, you know, that the extremes are, children probably don't need to have such a in-depth knowledge of the extremes of what's happening, and the trauma that's going on. But and for in a sense, we probably don't need huge amounts of knowledge about that, because it does provoke anxiety in adults as well. So be careful with how much information you're choosing to read into, and be aware of what's important and what's essential for you to be able to look after your family. And I've been telling kids as well, look, the health system in Australia is very good and it's very strong, and we're very lucky here that we have good hospitals and good healthcare workers taking care of people if they do get sick, so that there doesn't develop their, you know, an anxiety around what might happen if they get sick as a child. What about dealing with this isolation, which we mentioned at the start? Like, have you given parents any strategies around what to do when bored at home or without any kind of connection with other people? Is there anything going around about that?
Yeah, so I have been talking to the families about still, you know, like creating opportunities for the kids to talk to their friends, because for them, like, the social connections are really important. So even for my kids, and sometimes we set up Zoom sessions for them to see their friends and also do the Lego challenge together. And that has been really helpful for my kids. And I guess, like, they can get engaged with the social media for, like, teenagers and, you know, still connect, feel connected to their friends, and even though they are not seeing each other at school. And I think it really, like, in some way, it is providing, like, a pause button. Like, we are all pressing that pause button for us to actually slow down and creating more, like, family time together, because we can't really go out. And so we have a lot more time, and in the past where we always go, like having to juggle with work and with school and additional activities, and but now we just have a lot more time to actually spend time with each other. It's actually okay. It is actually okay for us to slow down and enjoy that time together.
Yeah, I agree. Making the best out of a bad situation is all you can do at the moment.
Yeah.
And I know for some families that it actually is really hard to stop and have time together. It's, you know, there might be dynamics, there might be some challenges between family members, and and so this doesn't suit everybody, and it is hard to do. When we are kind of fast paced in our world and we are always busy, but to do what you can, I guess, to get by and do the best with what you can. And if it is really hard being at home, to seek help. And we'll talk about that at the end about what you can do.
Yeah.
I'm also seeing quite a large surge in anxiety, and that seems to be across both parents and children. And it's to be expected, and I tell parents it's okay. It's okay to feel anxious. That's a normal emotion, and it's a fairly understandable situation to feel anxious about.
Yeah.
It's something we've never been through. And you're probably seeing things on the news that makes you feel anxious as well about what might happen and what could happen. What do you think about this causes anxiety in parents and children?
And I think, like, do you mean the parents or, like, do you mean the children?
Yeah. Oh, both. So what is anxiety provoking about this whole thing? What causes it? Is it because people fear catching this bug and what it could do to them? Is it because we are in a really restricted environment at the moment? Is it seeing what's happening around the world, in other countries, and seeing that there is a lot of death around the world, in other countries? Is it a combination of all these things, do you think, that's causing us to be more on edge about it?
Yeah. So, like, if we think about anxiety as, you know, like that fight or flight response that we experience as human beings, and we feel that there is danger and we feel like we need to deal with that, and that's why we have that surge of physiological response to feel, oh, I've got to do something about this. And that's what we are all feeling about it. And it is a very normal emotion to feel at this situation, because we do need to have that some level of anxiety to be able to get us to do something to protect ourselves, to protect our loved ones. And I assure them that it is okay to feel anxious, and I assure them that everyone in some way or another, whether you are adults or whether you are children, we will feel to some extent a certain level of anxiety, but we can do something to soothe that anxiety and to look after ourselves and to do something about it and to hold ourselves, knowing that, like, you know, we don't want it to overwhelm all these emotions, all these facts from the TV, from the media, sensationalizing the whole thing. Sometimes we can fall into that trap, and then we feel like, oh my gosh, this is the end of the world. And that then, you know, our thoughts then affect how we feel about the whole situation. And it will get us into the downward spiral of the anxiety. A certain level of anxiety is actually good to help us to prepare ourselves, prepare our loved ones, and do something about it. The other thing is that I actually feel that there is repercussions of the economy crisis as well that goes with the politicians, you know, informing us about, you know, what they are doing to help us to prevent a recession, and parents themselves are feeling the pressure of, you know, putting food on the table. And for a lot of them, like in the past, they have held a really good job and good income, and all of a sudden they need to be lining up at the Centrelink to get support from the government, and it is not easy to adjust to that. And a lot of the even if they're still able to work, but they are actually working from home now and having to juggle that boundaries between work and home, it is not easy. We are creatures of routine. We love our routine, and with such a big change left, right, and center, it is anxiety provoking for both adults and children. And children, they lost their routine as well, like going to school, you know, having birthday parties, and they can't have their birthday parties anymore. They can't go for soccer playing anymore. And during this time, it is a lot of grief and loss, I almost wanted to say. And in some way, if we are not handling these well, it can have like a traumatic impact on how we're feeling about the whole thing, and how we're coping in a long term. I feel like this is going to be a marathon rather than a sprint.
Yeah, way to look at it. It is a good way. And you said a really key point there, that anxiety is like an innate experience that we all have to use it to protect our family. And it comes up as a method in our bodily system somewhere, somehow, from enough stress, as a almost like a developmental thing, a tool, or I've lost my word now. But
survival mechanism.
Yeah, survival. Yeah. That was the word. Yeah, it's a survival mechanism to protect ourselves and to protect our family. Now, it doesn't mean that it's not uncomfortable, and it's not easy to overcome it, and that's what we'll talk about next. But but it is there for a reason. So listen to it, understand why it's there, and what can we do to switch it, to tone it down a little, or to use it to our advantage to really help us drive to a better outcome, or something that's more positive for our family and for ourselves. I don't know if you agree about that, but that's what I'm taking.
Definitely. And I think to be kind to ourselves, that knowing that like we are all feeling this level of anxiety, which is helping us to take actions to protect ourselves and our loved ones, but at the same time not letting it like snowballing into something that is out of control, but doing things to soothe ourselves, doing things to for example, like deep breathing, or like, you know, keeping yourself active during the day, and find ways to, even though you may not be able to go out to do your group sports, but you can definitely go for a run to manage the energy that you have in your body when the energy, when the anxiety surges up your whole body.
What does it look like in children? So we talked about parents, but do kids have the same sort of experience, or do they experience anxiety differently to adults?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think like it's a lot of the children will not say, hey, I'm really anxious here, help me to regulate my feelings. They can't really do that. And sometimes they might look really clingy. Sometimes they might be more acting out behavior. They might be more yelling matches, and they might externalize it, and that feelings of worries and anxiety. And they don't know why they are feeling like that. There's just this surge of, you know, anger, and like they just yell out, and, you know, like it can be particularly hard to support them when they are like that. In some way, is that like if they don't have the language to say, you know, this is what I'm feeling right now, but like it is up to the adults if we are able to regulate our feelings to a certain degree, then we can see their feelings. We can help them to label their feelings. We can help them to maintain a certain level of control and to reflect how they are feeling, to help them to problem solve. I'm feeling like this too, to empathize with them, and then to help them to problem solve. What can they do if we are feeling like this? And in the last time that you're feeling like that, like, you know, what did you do? And to share with them, you know, that like I'm feeling a little bit anxious as well. And sometimes I find it helpful to do some exercise and that helps me to feel better. Or, you know, how about we just do some yoga together? Like, you know, turn on the cosmic yoga on YouTube and we can do something together. It doesn't look like kids don't say, you know, oh, I'm so depressed, I'm so anxious. They can't do that. Yeah. But like it's usually show up in their behavior, or they find it harder to go to sleep. And because their routine changes, and also the worries keep them up at night as well.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think it's very powerful for parents to almost empathize with their children that, you know, yes, I'm actually, I have times where I'm like this as well. I feel like this too. And I understand where you're coming from, like to have that kind of line, you know, and to actually let your kids know that. And I think it's a very powerful way of teaching our kids that about emotions, that it occurs in everyone, these feelings. Yeah. And I know we've sidetracked a bit about that, but it's relevant to this situation that's happening around us, because it will come up in most households, these sorts of behaviours. I have had families come in to see me in the last couple of weeks multiple times saying that their household is imploding. It's agitated, and there's a lot of misbehavior going on. There's a lot of yelling and screaming, and it's because they're all stuck in the one house. They haven't got nowhere to go. But I think there are still strategies, even with what we are calling this lockdown period, there are still ways around your own house, your own outdoor area if you have one, that you can make work for you. And if it is still available to you, you can still go for a walk with your child. You can still get outside with your child as it stands at the moment. But I would think that that's a really important tool that shouldn't, you know, at this stage be taken away. And then kind of diverting those emotions to just to distraction, and you said yoga and deep breathing, which are good, but some kids sort of respond to different things, and I found, you know, jumping on the trampoline a really good outlet.
I was going to say about the trampoline, it is really good, and like my kids do that as well. Like I think it's that movement and that sensory input that they need in their body that we need to acknowledge, and we need to honor that. And for them to feel regulated, it is a combination of the movement, of the emotions, of the physical needs. We can't not meet those needs and then expect our kids to behave, because their needs are not met.
Yes. A word of, I guess, I've made this mistake, and whether it is a mistake or not, when it is all too much, and when the whole family is in this sort of moment of chaos, as an adult, I feel like it is our job to be the calming influence and to try our very best to kind of role model that calming behavior. It is so much easier said than done when you are in that moment. But if it is too much, walk away, come back when you're feeling that sense of you can be calm and you can show it to your child. It may mean masking it a little bit, that you are really worked up inside. But my understanding is that that trying not to fight fire with fire, try to offer that calm approach to a child who might be kicking and screaming and yelling in that situation, and, you know, come down to their level, say it's okay, I'm here, I know how you're going, I feel it too, we're doing this together, let's step outside, or I'm going to come back when you're ready, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Definitely.
So do you think these are things that parents should get help from a psychologist for, or if it's failing, then to speak to their GP and get a referral on to psychology, or if they're struggling in any way, like, do you have a sort of set criteria that you like to see in your practice?
That's lots of different parts in your questions. I am thinking about, the things that you said about earlier about the dynamics of the family and also like our coping cup as well, our emotional cup as well, and as parents. And if we are on a chaotic, rocky boat at the moment, and trying to be bigger, wiser and stronger are very difficult when you yourself are not feeling okay. So I think, when you feel that, your kids agitate you a lot and you find it really overwhelming to support your kids and to be there and to say that, you just feel like you are yelling a lot more, or you are getting into this deadlock situation with your kids a lot, and you find it hard to empathize with them and coaching them through those emotional storm, then perhaps that is a time to, seek help with the GP and get a mental health care plan, and to talk with someone about this and to look after your needs first, because you can't pour from an empty cup. And a lot of the time, when the stress levels are high for parents and for the kids acting out because they are not feeling okay themselves, then that dynamic is going to, create a negative feedback loop that, you feel like there will be a lot of judgment for yourself that you're not doing this right, and, how can the other person do it, but I'm not doing it right, and lots of self-doubt about yourself and your parenting. And those are the times that, I think that it's okay to talk to someone, to let it all out, and to organize your thoughts a little bit about this, and to find ways to support yourself first. Then you can then look into, okay, what was the dynamic that is going on in my home right now? And perhaps if you take a step back and look after your needs, then perhaps you have more headspace to actually think about what and see what your kid's feeling right now. Because a lot of the time, when we are so low in our coping resources, then we will find it harder to empathize or to put ourselves in our kid's shoes, and then we'll just be, that kid is just unreasonable. And you will have a lot of negative self-talk in you to say that they are being rude, or they are being unreasonable, like other kids don't do that. And, and sometimes it can trigger a lot of, the past history of family of origin stuff that, you might find that in normal times, you find it easier to be bigger, wiser and stronger and support your kids. But in times of stress, it might mean that it will be very hard to be bigger, wiser and stronger.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've got a little friend there.
I do. This is my 4-year-old coming to knock on the door.
That's nice. It just shows the whole concept of working from home and balancing children. It just makes it more real, Po, so don't worry. Good. And we're just about done. I know you have to get away to your children. I think you've summed it up really well, though, that we're kind of talking to different groups here, because some of us might be going okay, and we might be really making the most of this, and coping, and getting by, and making ends meet, and all that kind of thing, but it's just getting a heads up in case there are challenges, and also talking to those who are finding this a really vulnerable time for them and their family. So, you know, as we've said along the way, we're in this together, but it's okay to seek help and to get that guidance from a psychologist. And I think we as humans are actually quite resilient. We will get through this. We are stronger than we think we are, and we will adjust to this. But I know you have to go. Okay. We've had a really good chat today. We can follow up with another session at some point. And thank you so much for your time. I will grab those resources off you offline, and I'll put them up in the podcast about the yoga, about the videos that you educate your kids with, and we'll put them up on the podcast episode. But for now, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the chat. Okay. Bye. No worries. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kids Health Network. Be sure to keep an eye on our Facebook page for updates.